May it please God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is a wonderful promise from Almighty God. It's a promise from Almighty God to his people, to his church. And the glory is that this word is true, and we know that the Saviour has conquered, and the Saviour is risen again, and the Saviour is seated in glory on the Father's right hand. And we know, therefore, that he was a conqueror, and that by his grace we shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us. So this evening, if we have the evidence that we are a possessor of God's grace, if that is so, we know that the Lord has loved us, the Lord has shown us his mercy. And if that is so, then we can really enter into such a word as this. Because we walk in a difficult world, a world with many temptations. And we may look at ourselves and realize how foolish we've been and how sinful we've been. And sad to think that we've listened to the temptations of the old devil. And fear perhaps of what we've done and the consequences of our sin. Well, you know, that's right to be in that position, really. To not just sin glibly and lightly. People today think sin is really of little consequence, and they really go about pleasing themselves, doing just what they want to do, and then hope that God will look upon them for good. We're told the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it will be a great blessing for you and me if we are a possessor of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will produce the effect that we will desire not to offend Almighty God. And to realize that our sins caused the Saviour to suffer so greatly that we might be freed from that sin. Now, it's a wonderful favour, therefore, if the Spirit of God has directed us to such an important truth so that we realize who we are and what we are and how deserving we are of eternal damnation, and yet to believe that through the grace of God, the Lord Jesus came to save and to deliver our souls from the wrath to come. Now, all of us here tonight, without any exception, needs to know in our hearts that we are amongst those for whom Christ died. And so, if that is true, we can understand these words, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And the Lord has promised he will never forsake his people. He will never forsake us. We may feel, and rightly so sometimes, we deserve to be forsaken. You look back, and all of us look back in the last week in our life, and can we say, well, of course I was a good person, I didn't sin last week. I'm sure if you and I are rightly taught by the Spirit of God, we'll look into our hearts and we'll find so many sins there, we'd be utterly ashamed. We'll hang down our head, we'll understand what the publican was like in that parable when he was described. He hung down his head, smote upon his breast, and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That prayer never becomes old-fashioned. That prayer never goes out of date. That prayer is always a suitable prayer to the true church of God, because we do sin. And my friends, this side of the grave, we won't be free from the sinful body. Our old nature is sinful. The Apostle Paul said, didn't he? In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's a great lesson to learn. Not something that you and I like perhaps learning, but it's good truth. And if we understand the truth of that word, what it means is the Spirit of God is convicting us of our sin. We're not able to just sin and walk away from it. But we sin and our conscience taps us on the shoulder. And we know that we've done that which was wrong. That's when that prayer is good for us. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, you won't again just pray that glibly. Well, first of all, probably, if you're not taught of God, you won't even think of a prayer like that. But it's a wonderful mercy if the Spirit of God directs us to that, to realise our utter ruin and lost condition and wretchedness. You know, again, in that same 7th of Romans, the apostle, he explained the situation like this: O wretched man that I am. He didn't think he was a wonderful guy. He didn't think he was a perfect Christian. He cried out in that way, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He recognized that he couldn't do it. No, he couldn't do it. Beyond his capabilities. But he knew who could. Bless God tonight if you and I know who can. This is what the apostle said: I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who can deliver us from this body of sin and death. So then, with a mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And he goes on, and of course there weren't any chapters in the original. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you may say, well, I failed there, of course, so it can't be true of me. Well, it's like this. Do you desire? Do you pray? You may be able to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, if so, you see, we have the indication that we are indeed amongst the true family of God. And so we can therefore take courage from words like this: fear thou not. Fear thou not, because there is the evidence of the life of God in our souls. That's the important thing, isn't it? To know that you and I have the life of God in our soul. That's what matters. It's between your soul and God. It's not what people think of you. Some people give a wonderful outside expression of godliness, but inside they're absolutely the opposite. They're absolute hypocrites. They pretend to be what they're not. Well, it's a wonderful mercy when God comes and touches our heart and shows us what we are, and then causes us to flee to him. And such a word of this then is true to such people. Fear thou not. Why? The answer's given. For I am with thee. Now, we do need to fear if God's not with us. My friends, if God's not with us, we have to greatly fear, because hell is before us. There's no hope unless God is with us. I am with thee. Well, tonight, as we look into our hearts, can we discern the blessed favour that God is with us? If God is with us, sometimes it needs some discernment. Sometimes it needs some searching. But it's good to search. It's good to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. We don't want to make a big mistake, do we? And think we're all right and then find we're all wrong. Scripture encourages us to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. To look carefully into your heart, to find there God's work. God's work. God's work of conviction. God's work of directing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's work of causing you to pray. Not just a form of words, but to pray from your heart. The evidence of God's work, and therefore fear thou not. For I am with thee. You know, in this short verse, we have God stating I 5 times. Just to really encourage us and to instruct us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. If it wasn't God speaking, surely we would be fearful. If I was to come and say to you, well, fear not, well, it would just be the word of a man, wouldn't it? I might say it, earnestly, I might really be concerned that it was true, but I have no authority. My friends, God's word has authority. And when God speaks, you can believe it, and you can rest in it. And so, you know your position tonight. There may be great mountains before you. There may perhaps be small hills. But whatever it is, you may be fearful. You may be fearful what tomorrow holds. You may be fearful what the week holds. You may be fearful what the year holds. But then to be encouraged by such a word as this, for I am with thee. You know, the Apostle Paul, who was a man of God, but a man of God who had to face many trials and difficulties in his life, and don't think you'll be exempted from that. The life we live on this earth is not an easy life, it never has been, and it never will be. To the people of God. And one of the reasons is this, so that we don't settle down and make it our home. We are a pilgrim. We're a stranger. Now, coming back, what did the apostle say? The apostle had many difficulties, many trials. He said these wonderful words: I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. There was his hope. There was his confidence. It wasn't in his own ability. And Paul was a very able man academically and a wonderful knowledge of the truth of God. But he didn't say, well, I can stand up and I can speak and I can do those things and I'll confuse you and I'll win the debate. No, he didn't at all. His confidence was in his God. All things through Christ. My friends tonight, where is our confidence? Where is our hope? Is it in this great and blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? And if our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is with us, there will be that measure of confidence in our God. We won't be approaching unto the unknown God like those Athenians worshipped. But you'll come in prayer, you'll come humbly, you won't come boldly, as it were, in your own strength. You may come boldly by God's grace, but you won't be relying on your strength. You're relying on the Lord to help you to come in prayer, to pour out your heart. It's a great blessing to be able to come and to pour out our heart before our God. God knows all about us anyway. But it's wonderful relief to come to God and to tell God everything. You don't have to have any secrets to God. God knows everything anyway. But it's a wonderful relief to be able to come and pour out your heart to God. Fear not, fear thou not. It may have been what you are fearing. But come then and pour out your heart before your God. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That means when your path has been tested, when you've been tested. Yes, he knows the way. We don't. All we do know by God's grace is there will be a good end. But we don't know the details of the journey. But God does. And so it is an encouraging word. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Well, may we therefore tonight, as the Spirit of God may apply the word to our hearts, to go in his strength, by his grace, believing his word. Don't listen to anybody else. You listen to the word of God. Men and women make wrong judgments. They may perhaps think they're speaking good words of counsel. Rely on the word of God. Come to him, casting all your care upon him. That's how you'll walk out this way. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He goes on and says, be not dismayed. And again, why? For I am thy God. I am thy God. Now, when things appear to be going contrary, when things appear to be going in an opposite direction, you only have to look, don't you, through the word of God to find so many occasions when things appear to be going wrong. I know you young people at Sunday school have been thinking upon Gideon. Now, Gideon was hiding behind the winepress to thresh corn because he was afraid of the Midianites. They had all been oppressing his people, and he was very fearful. The Lord came and told him, I am with thee. The Lord was with him, thou mighty man of valor. Well, he was still fearful. He still had to pray to God, and he needed confirmation. You may remember that account with the fleece. He put the fleece out and prayed that it might be wet on the fleece and dry on the ground everywhere. And so it was. and then that it might be dry on the fleece and wet on the ground everywhere. And so it was. God heard his prayer and God encouraged him. He was a fearful man. But what he proved was he then need not to be dismayed, and he was encouraged even further. You remember when his great army was reduced to just a mere 300 men, and he was told that if he was fearful, he would hear that dream, go down and hear at the camp and hear what the Midianites were saying. And he went down and God encouraged him to hear what they were saying, that they would be beaten by the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What an encouragement that was. God is so kind. God is so gracious. He knew that Gideon needed wonderful encouragement. He brought his army down to 300. How possibly could Gideon destroy that great host of the Midianites with just 300 men? God is able. Yes, don't forget we have a great God. We sometimes tend to limit, don't we, the greatness of God. We need to be reminded. We have a God who created all things. And it's the same God that we are before today. And so when Gideon came and they blew the trumpets and they broke the pitchers and there was the light shone forth and they cried out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, the Midianites fled. They thought there was a great army. They fled. Israelites didn't have to fight. They didn't have to fight. You may be fearful. You may think there's a great fight ahead of you. Oh, my friends, it may not be. The enemy may disperse. And then it'll be a great cause, won't it, for praising and glorifying your God. Hear then, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed, however big the situation may appear, desperate, no hope. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Now, this of course has a natural content. It also has a spiritual content, and we don't want to pass over that. You may be utterly dismayed because of your spiritual situation. You may perhaps have almost concluded, well, you may have thought in your mind, you have concluded, that there's no hope for you, that you are beyond the mercy of God. Well, first of all, no one, while life is in them, is beyond the mercy of God. And there are so many encouragements in the Word of God to not be dismayed. We are told by the Lord, seek and ye shall find. And my friend, God doesn't tell lies. God speaks the truth. And if God puts it into your heart to seek him, to seek his face, you will find. You will find him. And therefore, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You may have thought there wasn't a God. You may have thought you didn't have a God. Here is a gracious word of encouragement. Be not dismayed. You may be dismayed. Well, remember, for I am thy God. The God who has made you. The God who has brought you thus far. You haven't been cast off, have you? You're not in hell, are you? You're still on the earth. Where there's life, there's hope. Yes, and may you have that good hope. May you be blessed with that prevailing prayer. God brings his people down so you won't be able to claim any virtue yourself. God brings you down very low, so you give up all hope in yourself. Perhaps you may have been proud of your wonderful prayers. The Lord may show your wonderful prayers were prayers perhaps without any prayer. Perhaps they were just empty words. Many prayers, my friends, are empty words. But when God brings us into a position where we are dismayed with our condition, our situation, then the Spirit's work which has done that causes us then to pray from our heart. Then it's not a fancy, pretty prayer, but it's a real prayer. And remember those glorious words, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You may say, well, I'm not righteous. Well, you are, if God has blessed you with true prayer, because he intercedes for you and he presents your prayer unto our Father, and the prayer is heard. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And let's not lose sight of the fact that we have such a kind and gracious God, Almighty God. Sometimes it's overwhelming to think that the great God looks upon us as little individuals and hears our prayer. Doesn't turn his back on us. Doesn't say, no, there's no hope for you. The gospel speaks to sinners. The gospel's gracious invitations are to sinners. Sinners can say, in number they, how gracious is the Saviour. Oh, it's only the sinners, because they realise what it's cost for their salvation. It's cost the death of the Saviour to carry their sins, to pay the price for their sins, so they're all washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am thy God. Oh, my friends, how humbling to believe that you and I possess an interest in the blood of the dear Redeemer, because he says, for I am thy God. And then the third I tells us, I will strengthen thee. Again, the Word of God tells us this. He weakened their strength in the way. Weakened their strength, not God's strength. He weakened their strength in the way. And God may weaken us in our own abilities. I'm talking now more really of a spiritual significance. He weakens our strength. We may have thought we were very strong. We might have said, I'll never be moved. Just like the Apostle Peter. He was relying on his own strength, wasn't he? Didn't last very long, did it? Just a few hours. From saying in one moment that he would die for the Lord, just a little while later, denying the Lord with oaths and curses. We don't have strength ourselves. But here is this word, I will strengthen thee. That means to be dependent upon God. Dependency upon God does two things. It brings us down in our own estimation and our own ability, and it raises up Christ as we see how great and glorious a Saviour he is. I will strengthen thee. Well, I wonder tonight, if we know what it is. To have God, as it were, come alongside us and put strength into us. Yes, when he's brought us down, when he's weakened us of our strength, and then he gives us his strength. Oh, you see, it's a great blessing. It's a wonderful favour to know that God has come and given us his strength. It's all sufficient. Our strength, in any event, will weaken and fade. But the Lord God is the same yesterday and today and forever. His strength never fails. Oh, what a great God we have, my friends. What a glorious word of encouragement we have to speak to our hearts like this. I will strengthen thee, and then I will help thee. I will help thee. We need help, don't we? Many things naturally, people need help, don't they, in things. We're not able perhaps to do things. We need someone to come and help us. Well, here's the blessed word of the Saviour, who says, yea, I will help thee. My help cometh from the Lord. That's what we read in Psalm 121. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, when your help comes from God, who gets the glory? God. You thank him for the help he's given you. You may have found it at school. You may have found it at university. You may have found it at work. You may have found it at home. Be able to come and say, yes, I received help from Almighty God. Almighty God has helped you. And that we might think of those words, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, and so you will. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's right hand to uphold us. It's a very wonderful blessing, is it not, to be upheld by Almighty God? Isn't it humbling to think that Almighty God condescends, bows down to help us in our great time of need? Asaph knew the truth of these words when he wrote 73rd Psalm, and he tells us, so foolish was I and ignorant. Do you say, well, that's me. That's me. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. To think that we go in with God, he holds our hand. You know how children hold their parents' hands, don't they? It's comforting for them. My friends, how comforting really for the church of God to know that God holds us by his right hand. He tells us, he goes on to say, thou shalt guide me. You see, this is an infallible guide. It's not man, this is God guiding us. Helping us, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Well, it's just like the 14th of John, isn't it? Where we read, the Lord has said he goes to prepare a place for us. If he goes to prepare a place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Here is the Old Testament speaking exactly the same truths. Where, who have I in heaven but thee? You know, people have funny ideas, don't they, of heaven. The worldly man would never be happy in heaven. He'd want all his football and everything else there, wouldn't he? But there's nothing like that. Heaven is a holy place. And so here we have this view. Whom have I in heaven but thee? What's the attraction in glory? Christ. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now, great blessing, my friends, tonight, if our great desire is for Christ. Our great desire is for Christ, and we can bless God for a word like this. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, we read some of these fear nots, you know, in this same chapter. You may have realized in the 13th and 14th verses we read, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Think of that tonight. God coming alongside us and saying, fear not, I will help thee. And then he tells us in the 14th verse, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Well, Jacob wasn't very big then, was he? Fear not, thou worm Jacob. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then just quickly, Isaiah 43 in the first verse. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee. You see, God's putting himself in that great perspective here. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. This is the great truth. If God has called us, if God has saved us, if God has redeemed us, we have nothing to fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. In the fifth verse in this same chapter, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Wonderful words of encouragement. So tonight, my friends, may we bless God that there is such a word to encourage us and to help us as we journey on through life. And as we may have times of dismay, times of difficulty, times of trial, remember, we're just on a little journey, travelling home to God, if we are among those who are called by his grace and can rejoice in this great and glorious truth. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen.